I said we'd have special speakers, and we sure do. It's Jody and Kristen this morning. And we've been studying the book on witnessing and so on, telling people about Christ. And I just thought that their example here in the recent trip to Guatemala would really be a very interesting thing to hear about. So they're going to tell us about that trip.
Thank you, Reverend Dykema. So we're hooked up to mics. Hopefully you'll be able to hear us well. And like he said, we were just in Guatemala, and as you all know, we were there for the funeral of our friend, Dr. Virgilio Zapata, and we'll call him Virgil for you, if that's his English name. But we just so appreciate your prayers and thoughts that you shared with us before and during and after our trip. So thank you very much for those. I'm going to start off by just sharing with you a little bit about Virgil's life so you know a little bit of his backstory, and then Mom's going to tell you some of the things that we got to experience during our trip. So, Virgil was born in 1927 in Guatemala, and his father in 1930 was working up in a little village up in the mountains. He was a lawyer. And there, all the professionals, at night they would get together and talk and drink alcoholic beverages together. And he realized he was getting into a dangerous habit for him. And he wanted to stop, but he wasn't successful in stopping on his own. And so he asked a missionary there. The doctor missionary was from South Carolina, and he asked him for help. And the missionary said, of course, I'd be happy to help you. Come and meet me at this time, and we'll have a private meeting. So Virgil's dad went to meet with this missionary at his medical clinic, and it just so happened that the missionary was holding a service and sharing the gospel with a bunch of people there. And so after the service, he spoke with Virgil's dad privately, shared the gospel with him, and his dad was saved. So that was the start of Christianity in Virgil's family, and that was back in 1930. After that, his dad's job moved him back to Guatemala City, the capital of Guatemala, and there was a change of government, and politics tends to be very messy in Guatemala. So with the change of government, Virgil's dad was actually put in prison by the new regime, and thankfully, someone helped him escape, and he and his family actually were able to go to Mexico then and flee. And thanks to some, it was actually Presbyterian missionaries who helped them get to Mexico. And there they became members of a Presbyterian church. And it was at a young age that Virgil came to saving knowledge of the Lord and started growing in his faith. But when he was in elementary school and as he was growing up, he was bullied in school. And finally, his dad decided to enroll him in the YMCA there in Mexico City. And he didn't even ask, you know, if Virgil was interested in doing this, he just enrolled him. He's like, we're going to do this. And thanks to the YMCA, Virgil learned all sorts of sports, including swimming, gymnastics, and basketball. And he ended up doing really well, and they made him a leader of a group of young people around his age. And then in basketball, he really excelled. And at 17, he was taken as part of the Major League Basketball team of Mexico City. And then in 1950, well, basically, long story short, he was somewhat of a basketball star in his day. And he also held records in track. So throughout his life, sports was something that he really enjoyed and encouraged other people to participate in. And he also didn't get bullied anymore. Then he really wanted to serve the Lord with his life. And one of the needs that there was in Guatemala was they had a couple of Christian elementary schools, but there were no Christian high schools. And so parents in Guatemala came to him and said, Virgil, when you come back from university in the States, would you please come and start a Christian school with a high school here? And so that was how his dream started of starting a Christian high school in Guatemala. So he went to Bob Jones University in South Carolina, and the girl who would become his wife was Beatrice, and she didn't go to Bob Jones, but she was at another university in here in the States, and her father was a Mexican pastor in Mexico. So Virgil knew her dad a little bit, but Virgil and Beatrice hadn't actually met. They met on May 2nd, 1953 at a missions conference, but Beatrice had heard of Virgil, and she had one girl in particular who talked about him all the time, and she was sick of hearing about him. So when this missionary kid came up to her and said, "Come on, you have to come meet the leader of this group of young people," she was like, "Oh no, thanks, I'm not interested." But then he waited outside the library for her and was like, "You have to come meet this guy, come on." So they met, and they ended up having the same dream of starting a Christian school in Guatemala or in Latin America. And so eventually they got married, and in 1954 they started that Christian school in Guatemala. And it's called the Instituto Evangelico America Latina, or we just call it the America Latina School. And it's still running today, and Virgil's family has the blessing of getting to see that many Christian leaders in Guatemala have come from that school. So that's a blessing for them, just getting to see the fruit of that. And Mom can tell you more now.
So I met Virgil when I was 20 years old. I was a student with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, had gone through their student training and missions program, and there were three of us girls that went down to Guatemala that summer, and with the idea that we would just help any way that they wanted us to help. Well, Virgil met us at the door of the school, welcomed us, and quickly assigned me to the print shop. Well, there were a couple problems with that. My Spanish was terrible. Fortunately, his English was good. But my Spanish was really bad, and my typing skills were probably worse. So I, being the social person that I am, just started talking with everyone all the time in the print shop. And that meant that no work was getting done. And when I did sit down to try to type something in Spanish, it was look at one letter, find it, look at another. And it was just terrible. So a couple of weeks passed. And fortunately, a happy day when he came and said, "Jody, we need an English teacher for the bilingual secretary students. Would you be interested?" And I was like, "Yes, thank you." So I got out of the hot little print shop and moved into a classroom and enjoyed the rest of my summer. But one of the other things that Virgil took advantage of during that summer for us students was to give us the opportunity to travel with him on the weekends and to go out on preaching trips. So we would just go along, and he would tell us stories the whole way out to one of the villages. Then we'd get to a church, he would preach, and then we'd come back and he'd tell us more stories. And it really, I think, gave me a heart for the needs of Guatemala, a bit of an understanding of what God was doing and how God was working in Guatemala. And when I left that summer, I was like, I would like to go back to Guatemala. But I knew I needed to do three things. One was to really study Spanish seriously and better my Spanish abilities, get my teaching degree, which I was halfway there at that point. So then from there, I was able to go to Mexico and finish up my degree, which really helped with my Spanish too. And then find a husband. And when I was telling the story in Guatemala, I said, well, the first two weren't that hard, but that third one took some patience. So the Lord worked, and over I guess it was 7 years later, 6 years later, Steve and I were planning our honeymoon, and as part of our honeymoon, we said, Guatemala, we'll be married, we can go together. We had already researched some mission agencies and found a need for a doctor and a teacher in one of the villages up in the mountains, and it happened to be one of the villages that I had visited back in the time when I was volunteering at the America Latina. So then we went up to the village, and well, actually, as I was telling it last 10 days ago, 12 days ago, I was able to tell them we're probably of the very few Americans who can say that they spent part of their honeymoon at the Pan American Hotel in Guatemala City and visited the America Latina School and then went up to the village of Chichicastenango. But the part of our trip that I wanted to share with you, well, and I guess I think all of you know, part of our story was that then we spent 9 years, five years and then later 4 more years, 9 years total as missionaries in Guatemala. And so here we are on this trip. We found out 12, 15, 16 days ago, I don't know, whatever day it was, that Virgil was nearing death, and we wrote to his family. He's 89 years old. We wrote to his family, who we are good friends with, the daughters, and said, well, they have 2 daughters and a son. And so we wrote to the daughters and said, would you like us to be there? We'd be honored to be there if we, you know, if it worked out for the services, would you like us to be there? And Steve told Kristen and I, well, with his work schedule, he wouldn't be able to go. But if we wanted to go, that we definitely should, he thought. Gave us the total big okay. And we found out on a Thursday afternoon that Virgil had passed away. And by noon on Friday, we were on the plane ready to head down there, which was just rather miraculous. We tend to overplan trips, if anything. We generally like to have everything planned out weeks in advance, and here we were 12 hours later on the plane, which was very cool. Sent out a request to a bunch of people, please pray for us, and we really sensed the Lord blessing us. We got to our friend's house there, and they said, this is great timing. All we have to do tomorrow morning is finish up a few things. We've got a lunch meal prepared for the family. We'll be taking it to them tomorrow. So we got there on a Friday, Saturday. We were serving lunch to the family. And the number of stories we could tell you, but a couple of key things. One of the daughters married a pastor who was the pastor of the little church that was starting in Guatemala City, a church plant that we attended when our girls were born. So they were the ones who walked with us through the birth and early years of our girls' lives. To get to spend that day with them was just precious. So we served them lunch. But as we're at their house, and the older daughter says to me, Jody, I'd really like, well, I haven't even asked my family about this, but I think I can do this. I want to give you this. And she hands me a hymnal that was printed up in the print shop that I did so poorly at. But it was just a compilation of words of hymns and choruses and songs that were written for special events at the school through all the years, and just precious. So I'm going to pass it around just so you can see it. But we had to laugh afterwards because I, of course, said, oh, that would be great. Thank you so much. I'll treasure it. It's really kind of you. She says, I wanted to ask you something. Will you speak at the service on Tuesday morning? And we laughed afterwards because it was so much like her to be that diplomatic. Here, have a gift, and will you do this? And of course, I had to say yes. So for those of you who know me, I've never liked public speaking. I like to talk in small groups. I love being a teacher in a classroom, but to stand up in front of 1,500, 2,000 people, and she told me 8 minutes. It sounded like, you know, 3 hours. And how could I possibly get through that? But the Lord was gracious. Got some pictures to prove. They had a wonderful service at the school, the main campus, on Tuesday morning. And I was able to get up there and share on behalf of all the missionaries, and if you want to pass these around just for fun. Very solemn, beautiful 2-hour service of hymn singing and testimonies. And like I said, I got to talk on behalf of the missionaries who were inspired and encouraged and befriended by Virgil and Bea during all these years of their ministry. And, you know, as we look back, we think that the things that made Virgil so unique was he was good with children and he loved children. And wherever we would go out to the villages, he would find little groups of children and play games with them and get down on his knees and play marbles or jacks with them and talk with them. And then he would preach wonderful sermons, and then he would be out praying with people. You'd stop at the gas station and he'd be evangelizing. And these kind of stories just flowed for hours at the, actually we went to the wake, and for 12 hours it was testimony after testimony after testimony. Hundreds of people and songs. You know, this was the song that Virgil would come to our Bible study every Tuesday, and he would always want us to, you know, sing one of these songs. So we're going to sing it for today's celebration. And the next group would come, and he would be at, you know, our prayer meeting on Tuesday or on Wednesday mornings, and he'd be at this group, and he'd be, and he was like across the board, all the different denominations, encouraging and working. He was wonderful with youth. I guess three things I wanted to share, point out about that made their school system unique. One was they had camps, and that was unheard of, to take the children from your school, where it's supposed to be academic, and go out and do spiritual instruction and encouragement in a camp setting. And as we heard these testimonies, it was time after time. We always knew every year at camp, they would ask us to raise our hand if we would commit to our lives to full-time service to the Lord. And, you know, they just encouraged that so much in their student body. And, you know, they always wanted commitments to the Lord, but then would you be in his service for your whole life? And so that was unique. The camps were a great part of the ministry. They focused on leadership was the other thing. They said, we are not here just to train your minds, to help you know your math and your Spanish facts or whatever. We want you to be leaders in your community. You're called by the Lord to lead in whatever area that he's, you know, calling you to be. And so they really emphasized that. And I think, of course, it was always servant leaders because they exemplified that. They were always serving, but also leading. And then the third thing was they developed correspondence courses. So they didn't just care for the student body that was at hand, but they provided correspondence courses that were typed up in the print shop, of course. So it was valuable work they were doing in that print shop. It's just stuff I couldn't do. But they were able to then provide educational opportunities to the whole country and really have a huge impact. Today, there are campuses, I think, in 5 or 6 different communities around Guatemala City, or around Guatemala, and then there's still the correspondence courses available. So lots of people, lots of even adults are being able to get their high school degrees who never had that opportunity before because of the ministry that they've provided. So that was just 3 different ways. And then, of course, the evangelism outreach. Virgil had a weekly radio program, the Program of Life, and it was sponsored by the school. And so he would go and oftentimes interview people and have them tell their story. The summer that I spent there as a 20-year-old, every week he would come to me, Jody, tomorrow I'm going to be recording my program for the radio station. I'd like you to go with me and share your testimony. And I would just melt. I'm like, no, I can't do that. My Spanish is so bad. And I later would tell about how I just carried that guilt for like 30 years, that all summer long I told him no, 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 I wouldn't do it. And I would like hide from him because I would know he was coming at the end of the summer. So it was about 30 years later that my family and I were in Guatemala City visiting them, having breakfast, and he said, "Well, guys, I'm going to need to get going because I'm going to go record my radio program." And I said, "Here it's coming." "As a matter of fact, wouldn't it be great if you came along and shared your testimony?" And right away we all said, "Yes, yeah, we'll do it." So that was a good, sweet memory from just 4 years ago. On a personal level, this trip for us, for Kristen and I think, just it reignited to us that like just how much God has done and how faithful God is. Certainly when I was there at 20, I didn't have any clue that this would be a big part of my life, my children's life. The people who we've been able to share Guatemala with, we were at a wedding reception last night, and a man whose name I had only heard, but he said, "Oh, the Hammers, I remember, like in the year 2000, weren't you in Guatemala and weren't you building a school?" "Yeah, we helped supply some things for the school." And it's like, "Oh yeah, I remember hearing your name, that there was a men's Bible study here, praying for this group of guys who had gone down to build." And just to think of how much God has done, but because Bea and Virgil in the 50s were faithful to the call and then lived that out day by day. And I think just as a testimony too of Virgil's life, because really that's what this is about, is time and again, as people stood up and men stood up, and then as their son led in the service, sharing about how Virgil was authentic, transparent. He was, like the son said, "I know you all think that my dad preached, do good, be good, and out in public, he was good. At home, he was even better." They said, you know, he, what you saw in him and the qualities you admire, he was even better at home. Okay, he wasn't perfect, he said, you know, because sometimes it was like the people were painting this picture of perfection. No, he wasn't perfect, but he was a godly man who we can be very grateful for. And so it was just a real honor for us. One other thing, as I was there as a 20-year-old, there was a 10-year-old in the fifth grade class. Are you going to tell this story? Good. Okay.
Okay. So, as Mom was saying, when she was 20, there working at the America Latina, there was a 10-year-old boy in the elementary school, and his name was Jimmy Morales. He was at the school because back when he was in kindergarten, his mom was working in the little shop at the school, and he didn't have a dad in the picture, so he would stay with his mom there at the shop. And then the kindergarten teacher saw him one day, and she said, "Oh, why don't you just come and sit in on the kindergarten class? You can, you know, it'll give you something to do." And so that's how he got started at the school there. He actually did kindergarten for 2 years, so that he was actually old enough the next year to participate. And they gave him a scholarship so that he could attend the America Latina. And his younger brother attended there as well, all the way through high school. Then Jimmy Morales, he really wanted to serve the Lord and serve his country. And he became a pastor and was a pastor for 5 years. And then he ended up starting his own comedy show on TV. And he was a comedian. But usually he would, with every episode, he would give a little, like, "Do what's good for the country" tie-in at the end. So 4 years ago, 3 years ago, presidential elections were coming up in Guatemala, and the two main candidates were both extremely corrupt for different reasons. So Jimmy Morales, one day he called Virgil Zapata because Virgil was kind of like a mentor to him. And he said, "Virgil, you know, I have this idea that maybe the Lord wants me to run for being president. And I know I won't win, but I just think I'm supposed to do it. Would you pray for me?" And that was something that over and over we heard on this trip, was that Virgil prayed for people, and he had prayer groups, and he was actually one of the key people who started this whole movement in Guatemala to pray for the elections, these past presidential elections. So Jimmy Morales got going with his campaign, and they were praying that the corruption would be exposed, and it was. And Jimmy Morales won the presidential election. And so throughout the first year and a half or so-ish of his presidency, he would meet with Virgil occasionally and just seek his advice and seek his counsel. And 2.5 weeks ago, when Virgil, they knew the end was probably coming, he came and talked with Virgil and just said, like, "By the way, I want you to know that like all these good things are happening in Guatemala, and I know the press isn't telling about it, but I just want you to know that we really are doing these things and we're trying." And so as on Tuesday morning, as we were driving to the America Latina for the funeral, Edgar and Gladys said, "Oh, the president's going to be here," because you could see the soldiers lined up for 2 blocks around the school on the sides of the streets and in the doorways. And they checked us off of the list of approved guests when we pulled in and had us roll down the windows and check the car, all that. And so then we go in and they had us sit near the family. His mom was speaking. And they pinned our little pins on us that said that we were the guests. And then Jimmy Morales comes in, and he and his wife and the vice president and these other leaders are sitting about 6 feet from us. So, and for me, Guatemala is la tierra de mi nacimiento, the land of my birth. And so I'm a chapina of Guatemala, you know. De corazón, sino de cara. In heart, by heart, of heart, if not of face, or however, you know, is how we say it. It's a saying in Guatemala. So, so he's my president. And Gladys and Edgar knew that, like, it would be really cool for me to get to meet him. And Gladys had been praying that I would get to meet the president. So there was this little lull before the event started. And they're like, now is your time. Go. And I'm like, you can't just walk up to the president. They're like, go. So Mom, of course, was like, oh, sure, I'll go. And I followed her. So then we just got to say, mucho gusto, señor presidente. And we got to tell him, Mom told him that how we'll be praying for him and for Guatemala. And we got to meet his wife. So then Mom got to share, she got to speak for 8 minutes in front of the president of Guatemala and to share our missionary story and what God has been doing about the Lord's work there, which was kind of just an awe for us, because who gets to do that? And when Mom and Dad moved to Guatemala, they thought, we're going to work in this little Indian village in the mountains, and that's it. You know, we just want to serve the people. They had no idea that someday she would get to share this story in front of the president. So then Jimmy Morales spoke at the funeral, and he just shared about how Virgil really was like a mentor in his life, and the impact of the America Latina on his life, and that what he really wanted to do was serve his country and serve the Lord and to be in full-time Christian service, and that he's doing that now as president. Like, you don't have to be a pastor to be in full-time Christian service. You can do that as president. But then he got really choked up, and he actually was wiping tears, and he said, "Me van a faltar estas oraciones. I'm really going to miss those prayers," because it was said that Virgil prayed for the president 3 times a day, and so and Jimmy actually Mr. President, actually got to that. He couldn't continue with his speech. And so then somebody said something and everybody stood up and applauded him just to show support. And now they've actually started a Facebook page that we pray for the president. And all these people are writing to him and saying, Mr. President, I commit. I'm going to pray for you. So that is just a neat continuation of Virgil's ministry. And that's something that we would just ask of all of you if you would have it on your hearts to be praying for Jimmy Morales and the country of Guatemala. He has a really hard, hard job. It's hard enough to be president as it is, but when there have been people who have been profiting from all the corruption for years and years, and then you try to stop the corruption, those people won't be very happy with you, and they won't be very willing to work with you. So that would just be something we would ask.
Questions?
Yeah, any questions?
Oh, let me just end too by saying the one thing Steve asked, try to get a newspaper. And the days pass so fast. We were there 4 short, fast days, full days. And we got on the plane and I thought, I never got a newspaper. So we sat down in our seats and before long the ladies passing out newspapers to the first class people. And we weren't in the first class. And she looks back and she says, oh, I have one left. Do you want it? So here's the tearful Jimmy Morales and the little article about him that the press did print that he was at the funeral and was choked up.
Yeah. And I guess with that, just one of the things that impressed us with Jimmy Morales is the humility that he had. And it's we all know that humility is a quality of a really good leader, but that when you are a leader, it can be really hard to have humility. And so that was just something that we noticed and kind of made an impression on us with that. And that humility was another thing that characterized Virgil and Bea, and also that they had a lot of fun. And we have some fun stories, but I will share those. I will save those to share with you later. So, any questions?
Jody, I wondered, you know, you said that to speak in front of 1,000 people is kind of tough, and you said if you start with humor, it helps you get started. I wondered if you could take us back to that moment when you addressed all those people, and what was your humor?
Okay, 2 things. Bea and Virgil had 3 children, so Beita, she's very correct. Everything she does is good and right. And Becky, she's fun, but she's still also very good, and she's a pastor's wife. And then they had Junior. And Junior was like 10 years after Becky. And so when I was at the school, I remember this kind of big kid and lots of fun and always had a bunch of other kids around him and stuff, and always getting in trouble. So I just had this great opportunity, since Junior was the one who introduced me. But he also introduced me incorrectly and told my story totally wrong, like that I had met his parents when they were up here speaking in the States. I'm like, Junior, that's wrong. So right away I was able to correct him, which everybody likes to do with Junior, because they're just fun.
Yeah.
And so I was able to say, Junior, actually I'm going to tell the real story of how I met your dad. It was right here in the school. And then the other one was, I was able to tell about how I remember his mother actually getting on his case out in the courtyard of the school. And everybody likes that Junior's always in trouble. So once everybody laughed with me, then I was like, okay, I can do this. And I think also the couple of nights, I would wake up the nights before in the middle of the night and just cry out to the Lord and say, you know, if this is a job you want me to do, I have to have enough peace to be able to do it. And
you promised your people peace.
Lord, you promised your people peace, and I need that peace. And so by the last morning I had it, and I was like, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And by God's grace,
I was just wondering how long the terms are there, like for the president, and that, is it similar to our government, or is it?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We think it's 4 years. Yeah. It's funny because Steve and I, when we went to Guatemala, we always said, we're just apolitical. We're not getting involved in politics at all. And we're just here for the cause of Christ. And that served us well, I think, at times. So we never really got real involved. But we found out, too, on this trip that at the funeral, at the cemetery, actually, a gentleman came up to us and he said, "Hi, I'm," and he introduced himself. He was our lawyer when we were helping the Potter Sauce Ministry and the garbage dump get started. We had some land issues. We were on their board, and you know, young kids, we didn't know what we were doing, but we found out that you gotta get your legal issues right. So we went through a couple of lawyers who, the first couple were just trying to be very creative about how they were gonna force people to do what they thought was right, and whether it was really legal or not. And finally, we happened onto this Neftali Aldana, and he was just a godly guy who said, "We will systematically follow the law and we will be able to get this right." And that's what happened. He became the lawyer who helped other missionaries with our mission later through some years. Ended up, he was the president of the Supreme Court for the last several years. He's just turned in his position because he's wanted to get into other things now. But the Lord raised up these people. For the people who didn't want to be involved in politics at all of a sudden we find out we have connections at some high levels.
Okay. So one thing I didn't mention before was Mamati, that's what people called her, but Beatrice Zapata B, she wrote a book of her story. So Historia de un Gran Amor, and mostly like she ties in with the great love of the Lord. Unfortunately, it's all in Spanish, but learn Spanish, folks. And so here on the back, you can see a picture of Virgil and Bea at their wedding, and then when they're much older together. But Bea passed away 3 years ago?
Four.
Okay. So not long after we were there.
Well, 3 years ago, you're right. Yeah. Yes, okay. 3 and a half.
Mm-hmm. So.
So everyone, time and time again, we heard how there must be some great celebrating going on in heaven, and surely there are mariachis as part of it, because yeah. Wherever B was and there was a celebration, there were always mariachis.
Yeah.
The Mexican heritage was strong. Any other questions? Mostly we just really, really want to thank everybody for their prayers and encouragement and just to share the fact that, you know, 10 days ago we came back, and we've just been marveling at how gracious the Lord was with us, allowing us to do
that. And what he does with one man.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Were there songs in that songbook that you knew, or were they all new? Or?
We know almost all of them, I think. Yeah. They love to sing. And we heard some awesome choruses of acapellas from in that funeral home. And actually, you know, it's so inspiring just talking with the people. And this one of the ladies who was working for the funeral home came up to us, because I think we looked a little out of place, the white faces. And she said, "Anything I can do to help you ladies, you know?" And she's kind of wondering who we would be there with or whatever. And we said, "Oh, we're part of this celebration of life here." And she said, "Yeah, end of life can be difficult. Don't know, you know, really what's ahead." And I was able to share with her, actually, we can know what's ahead. And so I was able to give some testimony and share gospel truth with her. And it seemed to be registering some, so that was a neat opportunity. And there were other times too, just little ways that we were able to talk with people. And you do kind of feel like, you know, you're part of a legacy here. You kind of carry it on.
And, you know, what Virgil and Dee now are not doing, the people whose lives they touched, that's our job to be doing more of. Mm-hmm. And certainly ties into the messages of evangelism. And so many people who need to hear the truth. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's close it.
Lord, I'm thankful for this blessing that we have heard about and for your grace. And we do pray for the people down in Guatemala and give thanks, O Lord, that your grace reaches to every tribe and nation. Pray that you would bless the Hammers and be with them in a special way in this time. Lord, receive our praise and thanks now in this Sabbath. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.